Did we have an awesome service this morning? Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I'm so thankful. Brother Morton Buster's been coming here. I don't know how many years now, brother. I've just lost track. It's been a while, long time. As they say down south, it's been a fur piece. But it's so great to have him here. And we're going to have him come and preach to us again tonight. God bless you, Brother Morton.
And let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise, because we're in the King's house. Amen. While you're standing, we're going to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Mark 7, verse 25 to 30. Just a few weeks ago, a young friend of mine in the ministry that I've been mentoring for about 18 years called me. He said, "I'm on my way to D.C. He said, "Tonight I'm going to have dinner at the White House with the president." Walked into a room, and including the president and his staff and the attendees, 25 people, pretty intimate setting. Had a great time. Then the president said, "Would you all like to see the Lincoln bedroom?" Took them through it. And then, against the wishes of the Secret Service, the president, who can be known at times to do what he would just want to do himself, said, "Come on in and see the presidential living quarters." Took them in. But tonight we're in the King's house. Whether you will ever be in a position to receive an invitation to the White House or not, you're in the King's house. Whether you'll ever get an invitation to be among the elite, you're in the King's house. And it's level ground around here. The altar of earth had no steps leading up to it. Because no matter what acumen you possess, your aptitude, your wealth, you cannot climb up to him. He had to come down to all of us. Amen. Such a privilege to be back at Calvary Gospel Church with Bishop Grant, his family, Pastor Grant, his family, and all of you, the saints of the Most High God. If you're a guest this evening with us, would you just slip your hand up? Amen. We're going to give you a hand clap because you took time to come. A dear member of this church knows that once in a while I cheat. But if you're going to do wrong, do it right. I can't allow myself to have many hamburgers anymore, but there's a place called Culver's. Now, I was 50-50. I said, "I'm going to forego the vanilla shake." And I did. Got a bottle of water. But I evened it out with a triple cheese Wisconsin burger. Amen. Just a quick report. You have heard me allude to what we're trying to do in South Africa by taking renewable energy, digital education, internet to the outer reaches of the 9 provinces. We've had so many obstacles, I can't even begin to tell you. However, I can't give a pitch. It's going to be a publicly traded company. Because we want to turn them into entrepreneurs. Amen? So we're going to be hands-off. Our goal is to empower those people in South Africa. Amen. And October of last year, after all those obstacles, I had the privilege of flying into New York City and going over to Manhattan and the Ritz-Carlton at Central Park, and we rented a space, our team, and in walked ambassadors and Brigadier General from South Africa, and then in walked His Excellency, the President of South Africa, and stayed with us for over 2 hours. Did not want to leave. So not only are we taking digital education and renewable energy, we literally are powering up homes in South Africa as I stand here right now. Never give up. Die to the fear of failure and do not require a promise of success. We're not promised success. We're supposed to give our best. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Mark chapter 7, verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, and the unclean spirit thought he had her, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. She was Syrian and Phoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. It was not a saying that came out of his mouth. He looked at her and said, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Check this out. And when she came to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. I wonder why he said laid upon. Let's take the compound. Laid up on the bed. It may not have been the case when she left. Because a spirit can make you restless and put you down. But God picks up. Oh Lord Jesus, speak a word in this house. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Before you're seated, would you lay your Bible down and give him a 30-second thunderous round of applause. I did not want to waste your time this morning, and I certainly don't want to do that tonight. But since I have not connected my Generation 1 iPad to your internet, it is showing 7:49, and it was an hour ahead this morning. So we're not doing too bad, are we? Are you going to help me? You may be seated. The Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Would you just remember that for future reference? Also remember, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. If any two agree as touching one thing, it shall be done. Any two that are three that have gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, be thou removed, and it will be removed and cast into the sea, out of sight, out of mind. Just remember these things too. Would you also remember that Lucifer refused to accept his divine position and said, I will ascend my throne to the throne of the Almighty. Please understand that I is in the middle of pride, I is in the middle of sin, and I is in the middle of Lucifer. And so we begin. You understand, parents, we parents know all too well when an unclean spirit comes into our house. It just changes everything. Being the parent, the father, or the dad, the mom, you don't want that spirit staying in your house. That's your family. After some time, this spirit can have an effect until you almost don't recognize the child you brought into the world. They're totally uncharacteristic. They're just not themselves. You do everything you can to bring them back, but something has a hold of them, and you just can't stand it. You would love to bring them to church, but there are situations where they're just not going to come to church. And so therefore, you do as what this woman did in the day. When you can't bring them, you go to the presence of God for them anyhow. Brothers and sisters, this message is meant to declare unto you that that big bad devil messing with your home may not be so big and bad after all. And although you see the ruination of what this spirit is doing to your own sons and daughters, it doesn't take that much to defeat it. But you have to understand the nature of evil. Because the father of these demons said, I will ascend my throne. And he would not accept his position. He has to be number one. He cannot accept number two or number three positioning. He has to have the lion's share of everything. For he came to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord only says, if you'll put me first and give me the tithe, 10%, I'll bless you. But the devil wants 99.9 and the last percentage point of that. He wants everything. Because he has to have it. He is narcissistic. He is self-centered. He is self-serving. He is self-absorbent. And he wants everything for himself. And he wants a position that he was never granted from God. And if you're not careful, he will try and his minions to superimpose the aforementioned onto you. Until all of a sudden you feel worthy of more. You feel entitled to a whole lot more than what you've received. If you're not careful, it will become all about you. And if you let that happen, he not only will mess with your child, he has messed with you. And that child may never get delivered. This little woman, Syrophoenician, mixed background, despised by some, ostracized by almost everyone, said, I don't know what it's going to take to get my daughter back. I might be put to the test. Please hear what I'm preaching. This is prophetic. Please hear this. I feel I have a word from God for you. I might be put to the test. But no matter what hurdle I have to leap over or hoop I have to leap through, I've got to have her back. Things have got to change when I get back home. So, whatever impulses that could be connected to her base emotions, because we all have a sense of pride, we all have that attitude, it would be good to be number one. We don't want to be put at the back end of a long line and be overlooked and underappreciated as if we're invisible. I wonder what the Bible means when the man came to Jesus and said, my son has a devil and a devil has my son, and it cast him into the fire and your disciples could not exorcise him. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Among the many benefits of fasting and praying, among them, you put on sackcloth and ashes, metaphorically speaking. It is an act of humility where you set yourself down off the throne and you tell your old flesh, wherein dwelleth no good thing, Paul said, for all that is in this world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But when you tell that natural man, you're not calling the shots for the next 3 days, for the next 7 days. I'm going to deprive you. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to deprive you, and your pride is going to scream, and you're going to scream for the resources that you need. But I'm going to let the spirit man have control over you, and it's going to be an act of humility. Either you're going to fall on the rock, or the rock is going to fall on you. Either you're going to humble yourself, or God knows how to humble you. But if you're in a position where you cannot take what's happening at home anymore, you're not going to let the feeling of, I have to be number one, get on me. I'm not going to let the feeling of, I've got to be at the front of the line, be on me. And if I get offended, then I'm going home, because that's not going to change anything at that house. So look at what she did. I don't think she heard Martin Bustard say what I just said, but I just think that she may have had a grasp on what it was going to take. So the first thing she did was, when she came in his presence, she went to his feet, not his hands. She came and fell at his feet, an act of humility. Sometimes there is more to be received at the feet of God than from the hands of God. The first thing you do when you come in his presence, you're not giving him a bargain. You're not going to make us sound better by singing. You're not going to offer a praise like no other person. No, no, no. It's great to be in his presence. He didn't have to let me in, but I'm so glad that he did. The first thing we have to capitalize on here tonight is, you're in his presence. Your home is still messed up by a demon, but you're in his presence. And the first place you're at is at his feet, because woe is me. I don't even deserve to be here. Never think that you deserve to be on his left. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Bring it back up, Salmon, a little bit. Just a little bit. Never get into this whole drama of, I deserve to be on the left and he deserves to be on the right. Just say, one day in his courts is better than 10,000 elsewhere. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the King, to inquire in his presence. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now the spirit on her daughter would never accept that. But she's not going to let that spirit put that on her. She's at his feet. And she gets his attention. And she says, my daughter. I wonder what the inflection of her voice was. I wonder the passion and the pain that came out of her mouth when she said, my daughter is at home. And she has a spirit. And the spirit thinks it has her. I feel that the implication is, at home, I'm fighting a losing battle. I don't know how much more of this my daughter can stand. I have to defer to a higher authority and a higher power. As her mama, where's the dad? I don't know. As her mama, I've done everything within my power. But it's not enough. It's my daughter. Even when it's not directly involving you, but when it's involving your loved one, you'd like to have a little preferential recognition. Just a little when it comes to your family. I wonder if some of you are not being tested. I wonder if some of you, the enemy, is not trying to put something on you that says, my home doesn't deserve this. We deserve better. That's not going to change anything. You're already doing great. You're in his presence. And Jesus said, let the children. Who are the children? Basically, he's talking about the Jewish people. He understands her nationality. One could consider this a slam, acerbic. Boom! He just put her down. The first thing he says, you're not number one around here. She's at his feet. She's demonstrating humility. And the next thing she hears is, lady, you're far from number one. Going to take a while. Let the children first be fed. Be careful. Be careful when your home is desperate for a deliverance and all of a sudden you find out that even the act of humility and praising God does not seem to be suffice and you just realize, am I even noticed by you? I mean, the Grant family is. The Buster family is. There are iconic names of families in our movement. But what about my family? Please, before I go any further, understand, even though he had parameters that he had to live within in that era, he's no respecter of persons. I got to give you a hint. He loves your home as much as their home or my home. He wants to deliver your home as much as any home. It's a test. Not only is Jesus watching you, the devil's watching you. He doesn't like what you're doing. He's trying to tell you, get up from that position. Don't you kneel down like that. Get up. You're better than that. You don't deserve this humility. And then the devil's saying, oh, wow. He just told you, you're not going to be getting this for a while because you're not numero uno. Oh, no, no, you're way, way, way down the list because he said, let the children first. In other words, there's somebody ahead of you and they seem to be more deserving than you. Please understand, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting, as it was with the boy thrown into the fire. It's probably with the daughter thrown onto the floor. That's why I believe that praise, prayer, and worship and fasting can break bars of iron. I believe that when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, I believe that when you come and bow low to Him in His presence, the deliverance already has begun. I feel that some of you are praising God tonight. Something is shaking at your home. You being over here at Calvary Gospel Church and lifting up Jesus might be breaking chains off of your sons and your daughters. Oh, it's not getting any better. You're going to be tested. Your pride is going to take a beating. Your pride is going to be challenged because you've got to defeat pride before that thing in your home is defeated. I feel the Holy Ghost. The battle man may not only be raging in your home with your daughter. You may have an inward battle right here. Your pride is saying, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to take this. And it's going to get worse. Because he said, let the children first be fed. It is not meet, it's not proper to give the children's bread to dogs. Can you take that? In a politically correct, Sue, crazy society, can you take that? Go ahead, get offended. But nothing at your home will change. You're in the test. You're breaking powers of darkness as you break your own pride. But please understand, as I said this morning,
His essence is perfect love. He's still no respecter of persons. Even in that era, in that chapter of our Bible, he was no respecter of persons. I don't think he's trying to hurt her. I think he's trying to throw a hint rather than to hurl a hurt. Sometimes the hint is not wrapped in pretty Christmas wrapping paper. Sometimes it comes rather ugly. It's what's inside that counts. You got to dig down deep. And you have to understand the first impulse is going to be the impulse of the enemy. Get up off the floor. Don't take these kind of slurs. This is racially insensitive. It was because she was part Syrian and Phoenician. And once again, she's reminded of the stigma that's attached to her. And he's just like every other person, like every other rabbi and teacher, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. There's not a dime's worth of difference. Oh, yeah, there is. Because Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow. Black and white, they are precious in his sight. Some may be rich. You don't remember the old spiritual, do you? Some may be poor, but the end is, there's room at the cross for you. That's just an old blast from the past right there. I feel that it was her desperation. But I feel that she was also somewhat sagacious because she was grasping what other people could not see. Number one, if you're in his presence, whether you're at his hands or his feet, you're in his presence. Whether you're number one, the children, or you're way back at the end of the line, you're in his presence. It might take a while, but if you can get some of this, it's going to change everything back at home. Don't get a bad attitude. Don't run out because you didn't get prayed for, number one. Don't run out because you never did get called out. Don't let that spirit tell you, get up off that floor. Don't take this kind of these disparaging, humiliating remarks. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just stay in his presence. And when he says, it's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs, say, I don't care what it takes to see my daughter delivered. I've got your hint. Now you see, I'm not going to get bent out of shape because I don't get to sit up at the table. It would be nice. It would be nice being a Syrophoenician to have a little bit of dignity recognized within me, not to be always put down. It would be nice to be able to just sit up at the table. But I'm not too proud. I'm going to take advantage of your presence. Whether the preaching is preaching my style or not, whether the choir is singing my song or not, whether they shook my hand or not, I'm not going to let this moment be wasted. So you're telling me there's a chance. You're telling me that I don't have a position at the table, but I might have a place somewhere. You're ahead of me, aren't you? Lucifer would never do that. He would never step down. He wanted to promote himself. He wouldn't even accept where he was at. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Don't you let the devil put the same mindset on you that you deserve more and things not right. You break him by breaking your pride. And she said, okay, I think I see the picture. She said, then this is just fine with me. If this is where I have to be, then I'm just going to take this position right here. right here. Okay, can I recap real quickly? Stop worrying about whether you're at his hands or his feet. The first thing you do is show humility. I'm just so glad to be here. Number two, when you find out you're not number one, don't get bent out of shape. When you find out that you might be considered a dog, don't get ticked off. It's not a slur. He's given you a hint. If you have a will, there's a way. Because I've got news for you. Whether you're with the upper echelon, the uppity ups, and you get to ride high with the jet setters, and you get to sit at the table, it doesn't matter whether the bread is here, and it doesn't matter if it's down here, because his words are so powerful. It doesn't take a sterilized tabletop to purify his word. Neither can any animal feces left over from the foot washing contaminate his bread. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will last forever. All the sin of this world cannot contaminate the efficacy of the power of his word. It's as good down here as it is up there. Now, for those of you who get to sit up at the table and you have on your panache, decorum, and your dignity, because you're in that inner circle, you're true blue through and through, you're the blue blood crowd, you're the ones who feel like anyone should sit at that table, go ahead and sit up there. But that doesn't mean you're going to be the biggest winner at the end of the night, because someone down there, the way they worship drives you crazy, the way they scream and they shout and run the aisles drives you crazy. I just wish that you had the appetite, because you've got it right here. You can have the whole loaf if you want it. It doesn't mean that just because they're up at the table, they're going to walk out with the biggest load of miracles. It doesn't mean they're going to experience the greatest move of God. Because my mama used to tell me, you never miss the water till the well runs dry. She says, I'm going to accept my position. There's a proud demon on my daughter. It stripped her of her dignity and her pride. But I'm not too good. And if I have to strip myself of my own pride, I'm going to do it, because I'm going to do the opposite here, what that devil refused to do in heaven. No wonder he hates praise. No wonder he hates worship. No wonder he attacks singers and musicians that bring us into the presence of God, because they took over his job in heaven. That was his job, and he blew it. And that's why I love you, worship team. Thank God for you. But continue walking up here with a great attitude. And I know that you've got a lot of junk happening in your own lives, but you shove that aside. I know that we can't afford to pay you, and it's worthy of paying a ticket with Ticketmaster. But just keep on giving praise unto him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Number two, or finally, not number two. Stop worrying about how much you're going to get. He never even laid hands on me. He just simply let me be in the class of the mass prayer recipients. Why, all these years he's never laid hands on me. You see, I please everybody when I come. I please a few when I come, the rest when I leave. Because there are two elements in every service. There's a few that want to be called out and a whole lot that don't want to be called out, because they think, boy, that boy is freaky. He's got those beady eyes. And I'm going to tell you what, if I can just make it out of here without being called out. You see, that spirit that fell, he wanted more. Enough was never enough. And when you think you can equal yourself with the Almighty, man, you've got a psychosis going on in your cranium. But when she finally got in position, she discovered something from this vantage point that if you're high and mighty, sitting up at the table, you might not even notice it. And if you did, you might think yourself too good to receive it. Give the Lord a hand clap for about 20 seconds while I tie my shoe. When you come in and the first thing you do is bow in His presence, when you're not too good to kneel at His feet, you can see things that other people missed. I was going to get that, because some of you can see that, can you? If you can see that, wave your hand. But I'm not going for that, because it doesn't take that. It doesn't take bread of that size for that great big demon. You see, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, if any two will agree, is touching one thing. Wherever two or three have gathered my name, I'll be in the midst. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Thank God you humbled yourself. Thank God you have a revelation that even though you can't have the whole slice of the whole loaf, you're now realizing one thing. You are so powerful. And look what I found. It is hard to collect. I have finally secured, just to all prove this, I have secured a crumb. That devil at your home is getting mad. You discovered what little power of God is required to break him. He didn't want you down there. He did not want you not getting offended when you basically felt you were called a dog. Because he said, I hope that they don't discover that. Because I'm big, I'm bad, and I will huff and puff and blow your house down. He knew all along, he's not that big and bad. You see, the devil is not a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion. He's got a lot of bark but no bite, because he's been detoothed, dethroned, disarmed in hell. He doesn't even have the keys to his front door. He's a loser and he's a liar. And when we're through with him, one angel will come down and wrap him in a chain and cast him into a bottomless pit. And we will say, is that the wimp that caused the nation of the earth to fear and tremble? Because it doesn't take the loaf. Do you feel any amount of anointing? Do you sense any amount of moving of the Spirit here tonight? Has anything touched you? That big bad cancer, it's not so big and bad after all. Has anything touched you? Has anything touched you? I know you've had heart disease and it's come from 3 generations away, and now it's threatening to take you to an early grave, but it doesn't take that much to get that out of you. I know that your home is really messed up, and I know there's some of you who are trying to quit all kind of addictions. The devil has tried to tell you it's going to take another 5 years and then I'm going to hound you, and you're always going to be recovering. You're always going to be an addict. Nothing's going to change. And if you're not careful, you're going to revert to the old nature in a moment's time. He doesn't want you to discover the power of one crumb. He does not want you to release one shout of hallelujah. He's hoping that you will sit and say, I'm not moving. I'm not shouting. No, no, no. If God is so big, if God is so compassionate, he can set my home free without me doing anything. This kind cometh not but by. Musicians, join me, please. Come on, musicians. Because here's the deal. Oh, Brother John, would you do me a favor? There's some cake out there. Let's let them eat cake. Would you go get me one piece of that cake? I'm hungry. Come on, musicians. They're bringing me my cake. I love pretty. You spoil me. Well, Brother Buster's going to sacrifice and go back to Madison. Let's let them think that. You don't need to bring everybody in here. I want to stay on the list. Oh, she took my table. I'm having fun, sis, I promise you. They're getting in position because my cake's coming. It's not over yet. It's not. I'm not through preaching just yet. John is fastidious. Well, fastidious in my book is good. It doesn't mean, you know, you're snarky because you're so spoiled rotten. I was in Connecticut, Essex, Connecticut, just a few weeks ago, and I went to a coffee shop, a mom and pop, and you can begin to play something because that'll help them. There you go, just real nice and softly. We'll just go ahead and do something. Thank you, Brother John. Want to bring it over here? Oh, you got me a fork too? John, you are the man. And you paid for your coffee and then you poured it. And you poured it. And then you went over to a table. Let's bring it down just a bit. Bring it down just a bit. And then you went over and you put your cream. This sweet elderly woman came in. She walks over, and I'm one person behind her. She pays, and she gets her coffee. So I come in beauty before brawn. So I do what I'm supposed to do because chivalry is not dead. Even though I got there first, I stepped in behind, and she stood, and she was pouring some cream in. And I guess I must have been irritated because she looked bad. And then she'd sip, you know, and pouring that in, And that was Monday morning. And I'm thinking, I have to preach in Manchester, Connecticut, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I hope I make it, because she was taking her good old time. Then she tasted some more, and I said, you're fastidious. She said, no, I'm not fussy. That means fussy. I said, well, you're borderline. Sakes. I'm about to do something I've never done at Calvary Gospel Church. It's just too good. I'm sorry. You know, there's times you just, we stop broadcasting, right? You've got the message from Pastor Grant. If we're off the line, give me the cut sign, the cutthroat sign. We're off? Okay. Don't let Marilyn, my wife, see this.